You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 347.
On Flopcast.net.
Kevin and Corn Flake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you, might be. Sorry, they'll still turn your sad frown upside down. Coming at you live from Chicken Town.
Yes, yes, hello, Corn Flake.
Hi, Kevin.
It's the last Flopcast of the year. So I think we're just kind of look back on the Flopcast year, I think, is the general idea for this week.
Fantastic.
Nice and simple. First, however, how about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, this show is coming out in 2018, but we are getting ready to start a new year. And on January 4th, coming up real soon, is the birthday of one Dorothy Marie Jones, better known as Dot Jones. Does that name sound familiar to you at all, Kevin?
I have no idea who that is.
Well, she's turning 55, and she was Coach Beast on the TV show Glee. Dot Jones.
Deep cut there. All right.
55 years old. Well, maybe to some, if you watched Glee, you knew who Coach Beast was.
Wow.
And if you're into arm wrestling, you might also know who Dot Jones is.
Oh, I'm way into arm wrestling.
She is a 15-time world arm wrestling champion.
All right, so she has some interesting credentials beyond Glee then.
Right.
That's good. If all you've done has been on Glee, I don't know that I want to dedicate a week to you.
Well, what about Glee and Married with Children?
Not helping your case, but no, the arm wrestling is interesting, though. I vaguely remember from my limited Glee viewing before I just couldn't take it anymore, I vaguely remember this character.
Yes.
When you said Coach Beast, it sounded familiar. But then I thought maybe I'm just thinking of Roast Beast from How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You've been getting too much Whoville in your holidays.
Yeah. So what's her name? Dot?
Her name is Dot Jones.
All right. That's a solid old-timey name.
It is.
Nobody names Dot anymore. And how is she? 55?
Yep, 55 years old.
Which is not super young, but to be named Dot, that's pretty young.
True.
She might be the last Dot. Who else is named Dot anymore?
She's turning 55, but with that name, it kind of sounds like she should be turning 80.
So I don't know too much about the world of professional arm wrestling. I didn't know there was a world of professional arm wrestling until the Sylvester Stallone movie Over the Top.
Uh-huh.
Circa 1987, I suppose, with the Kenny Loggins theme song, Meet Me Halfway. I didn't see the movie, I just know of it.
You just know it's there.
Yeah.
Arm wrestling does not make much of a spectator sport, but I imagine it's very exciting for the people who are in it.
Our friend Matthew Dix actually has a bizarre story about arm wrestling. He was actually drawn into the world of, like, secret, underground, illegal arm wrestling.
Like Fight Club, but
yeah, it was like
wrestling?
Fight Club style arm wrestling, yes, which he was drawn into at one point many years ago. Yeah, he tells a whole story about it.
Wow. So, I would do very poorly in a club like that.
So, Dot Jones.
Happy birthday. You crazy arm wrestler, you.
What a bizarre pick for our final whatever day of the year.
Well, I knew it was one I hadn't mentioned before.
Definitely not. I wanted to look back at the course of the year, though. It's been another full year of Flopcasting.
Yes. Some very fond memories.
We've been doing this such a long time. And it's been quite a year. We've done a lot this year.
Oh, good. It's true.
You remember what we did on the very first show of 2018, first Flopcast.
Did we have a movie night?
You're very, very close. It was not a movie night, but it was a movie game. We did the 90s movie game.
Yeah.
The third and final of our movie games.
For the 90s, yeah?
It was the 90s movie game, yeah.
Yes, I remember, and you were shocked to discover that I had not seen The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Because it's what we watched for November for my New Year's resolution.
A lot of movie talk over the course of the year after that because of your New Year's resolutions. You announced you're going to watch a movie a month that you should have seen a long time ago, so this has been the year of movies for you.
And as we record, I've nearly wrapped up for this year.
You still haven't finished.
I still need to watch My Cousin Vinny.
My Cousin Vinny. That's the movie you decided to watch for...
October.
For October. Okay.
Yes.
And here we are. It's Tis Boxing Day as we record. This is December 26th. that we're recording on. So you have, what, 5 days left?
Imagine if this were on the same system as overdue library books. I would be so poor.
So are you intending to watch My Cousin Vinny in the next 5 days?
Well, guess who has nothing else to do on New Year's Eve?
Okay.
I'm going to get it done. In true Cornflake last minute fashion.
Yeah. I know we watched a bunch of movies together for your movie project. I wrote down as many as I could remember.
Flash Gordon.
Oh, I forgot Flash Gordon.
How could you forget?
I forgot the most important one.
My goodness.
We did watch Flash Gordon, didn't we? I'm adding it to the list. Yeah, Flash Gordon, one of my favorite movies you had not seen. So that was one of yours. I think I'm still missing some of those. I have 9 movies listed here, so I'm missing 3.
Meatballs.
I got Meatballs.
Okay.
We watched that one together also. Yes. Because I love Meatballs. The Commitments, you'd never seen.
I had not seen.
We made a whole show out of that.
Yeah, that was that was awesome. I can't believe that movie escaped me. Labyrinth was one that
Labyrinth.
That was my January movie.
Right, I forgot about Labyrinth. L.A. Story.
Right.
With Steve Martin. That was a weird one.
It really was.
I'm surprised that made your list.
It's still, for the fact that I'm a meteorologist, it makes sense.
Yeah, I think someone led you to believe that it was very meteorology-based, which it really wasn't.
Not
at
all.
It was like a throwaway gag in the first 10 seconds of the movie. You saw Strange Brew, McKenzie Brothers movie.
With the flying dog.
I have not seen that thing in like 30 years.
It hasn't changed.
Star Wars Holiday Special. December.
Wrapping up quite the year.
Yeah, and I think we're still missing one, though.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, When Harry Met Sally, and I think there's a couple more. Well, it's been a long year.
Yep.
The first show of the year was episode 296, which I guess makes sense because we're on 347 today. I think the math checks out.
Yes.
Episode 299 was our memorial show for 2017.
And it ended up being the longest show ever.
That's right. I forgot to even make a note of that. But yeah, the longest show in Flopcast history happened this year because we broke the 2-hour mark for the first time ever.
And now that you mention it, it's coming up on January, so.
Yeah, I think in 2 weeks we're going to be doing our memorial show.
Oh boy.
For everyone who died in 2018. Yeah. That's a nice show, though.
It is.
It's a lot of work.
It's a well-done show.
I'm hoping it will not be 2 hours this year. I think it's going to be shorter. Episode 300, we celebrated our 300th episode.
That's right. But we had already celebrated in a pretty big way back at episode 251, so episode 300 is not that big of a deal.
Yeah, yeah. 251, yeah, that was a bigger deal, certainly. We also passed our 6th anniversary in 2018.
Unreal.
It's completely ridiculous. This was the year we started reading Dynamite Magazine on the show.
Yep.
That became an ongoing feature. And I think we've only actually done that 3 times. We've read 3 issues of Dynamite Magazine. I'm sure everybody listening remembers Dynamite Magazine. It's the kids' magazine. They'd sell it through the school book club from the 70s and 80s. And we have a lot of them. We have about 50 copies of Dynamite here in the studio.
Yeah. It's the year I learned about bummers.
Dynamite Bummers. That's an institution of Dynamite Magazine. Yeah, we'll have to do that again sometime. It's been a while since last time we did that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll break open another issue of Dynamite Magazine sometime soon.
This is also the year that I got stuck in Minnesota going to MarsCon.
Yeah, we got to talk conventions as well. We went to, let me see, I have a list here. I think on the whole, between you and me and Felicity, the mayor, I believe we went to 9 conventions in 2018. That does include Flopfest.
Oh, good. Thank you.
As it should, I think.
Right. So that's big day.
If we're counting Flopfest, which is a convention Cornflake organizes for the 4th of July every year, in which you just flop down on a hammock and the end.
Right. And watch a parade.
But there is a parade that goes by. Including Flopfest, yeah, 9 conventions. It started with Aresia.
Right.
Back in January. Which
we were there in full force.
We were all at Aresia this past year. Very busy at Aresia.
I was running around in my bathing suit.
You were running around with the swimming pool
in the lobby. Yep.
I did a couple of panels.
I saw Totoro.
Yes. We might as well plug now that Aresia is coming up in about 3 weeks, I guess, as we record. And I will be at Aresia again this year officially. I don't think they've released the schedule yet, so I'm not going to give any details on the schedule. But I'm going to be on a bunch of panels at Aresia. I'll be very busy speaking about silly things throughout the weekend. So find me at Aresia, and that is January 18th through the 21st, 2019, and it's at the Boston Park Plaza Hotel. which is not the regular Aresia Hotel. So don't go to the old place. Find the new place.
It's not on the waterfront.
It's not on the water. It's in the middle of the city for a change. The next convention was Gallifrey One. That was the mayor. It was out in Los Angeles, California for the big Doctor Who convention, Gallifrey One. And she reported on that for us. We weren't there.
Nope.
MarsCon was next after that, though. You were definitely at MarsCon. In fact, you almost never came home.
It's true.
Yeah, you were trapped in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Because of the weather.
Yes. There was the snowstorm that prevented me from leaving at the end, at least as scheduled, and I was stuck there an extra 2 days, I think. This was also the year of the danger noodles. I brought inflatable noodles for the pool classes.
Right, you had slippery pool equipment, and people were slipping and flopping all over the place, and it was very dangerous.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful. You enjoyed it.
Yes.
You thrive on danger.
It was great.
And I don't remember how it ends. Did you ever get back?
Mm-mm.
You're still there. Okay.
Minnesota's nice, though.
It's great in the winter.
People are really sweet.
Oh, those are the best people. Absolutely.
Yes.
They keep inviting me to come back to Minnesota for winter for the holiday special. They do, like, in December, the Minnesota Star Wars people put on a big Star Wars holiday special charity screening. It's just hard to schedule a holiday trip to Minnesota. You know.
I think one of these days.
Someday.
You'll be there.
Someday. We'll get out there. Meanwhile, what's next? Generation Who. That's another Doctor Who convention. That one was in Baltimore, I believe, and the mayor went to that one as well. She went to two different Doctor Who conventions on two different coasts this year. The next one after that was Classic Con. Those are friends from Rubber Chicken Comics put on their own convention this year called Classic Con. And I went to that and bought a bunch of weird comic books, which we were flipping through here on the show. Flopfest was after that. Well, I guess we had Flopfest.
And Convergence,
and
right?
And Convergence, because, yeah, you were in New Hampshire for Flopfest.
Yes.
Look at how many states we covered with conventions this year. Quite
That's
a
true.
Few. You were in Minnesota for the winter. I was there for the summer.
Right, because one of us is sensible.
This was a special year at Convergence because Marina Sirtis was there from Star
right.
Trek. Mary Jo Peel was there from Mystery Science Theater. And Information Society was there. 80s synth pop legends Information Society, strangely, did a show at Convergence, which was pretty spectacular. Our penultimate convention of the year was the biggest convention for us. And, of course, that's Dragon Con down in Atlanta. That was another big first for us this year, for me certainly, was I actually put on a costume this year at a convention for the first time ever, I believe. And not just any costume, but Cloris Leachman.
Because nobody else can cosplay
I'm
Cloris
gonna,
Leachman.
Yes. It's hard to come up with a costume for the first time at conventions, especially at Dragon Con, because there's tens of thousands of people there and every costume has been done. I'm pretty sure that's the first Cloris Leachman costume in Dragon Con, if not convention history.
You're welcome, world.
Yeah, had to be done.
Yes.
I was dressed as Cloris Leachman from the Schoolhouse Rock videos that she made in the 80s. So it was a very specific Cloris Leachman costume. And we also released a book. The ESO Network released another book at Dragon Con this year. So that's a big accomplishment of the year for us as well, which we should mention again, is that Earth Station 1 Tales of the Station Volume 3 came out at Dragon Con, a fun little book with a bunch of weird little science fiction short stories in it. One of them's by me, and then there are several by other people. So even if you have zero interest in what I wrote, and I totally get it, there are other people contributed to other stuff. And that's available through Amazon and whatnot. You can get the Earth Station 1 Tales from the Station Volume 3. Check it out. Lots of fun. The final convention of the year for us was Super Mega Fest right here in Massachusetts.
Back in its old hotel.
They moved back to the Framingham location that everybody missed so much. The cast of Leave It to Beaver was there.
I'm sorry.
Having a beverage mishap. The water's flowing.
That's cool. I got most of the freezing cold water with my leg.
You just spilled a bunch of...
I had a doornail moment.
What happened? Because it looked like... Did you forget where your mouth was? You just picked up a glass of water and just poured it on your leg.
What I think our listeners don't realize is that we have these gorgeous coasters, these nice soft coasters.
Chicken
that
coasters.
Have chickens on them. My cup got stuck to my coaster. When I tried to get the coaster back down, the drink went down instead, so.
I could not tell what went wrong. I just saw, it looked like in slow motion you were just pouring your drink out onto your leg.
I've had so many drink mishaps this year.
It's good that you went for the water and not the iced coffee, which is sitting right next to it.
Yeah, this is not...
Well, that's why we have emergency backup coasters. Here you go. Take a new dry coaster.
This is not the first drink mishap of 2018.
These are special coasters. I don't think we've ever mentioned these on the show. But we have special Flopcast recording session coasters because they're soft and quiet, you know, so that you don't hear us bonking our drinks up and down through the whole show.
They're quiet, unlike me dumping water on myself.
They're special quiet coasters, and they have chickens on them.
They're very nice.
These were made special for us. I believe the mayor's mom made these coasters for us. Yeah.
I've always admired them.
Aren't they spectacular? I don't think we've ever mentioned them on the show.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Behind-the-scenes information for the end of the year as we spill stuff all over them. The sad thing is that's the most exciting thing that's happened on the show all year. It was just now, that water going over the...
Water.
Something finally happened during the show.
Yay!
We've been waiting all year. What was I saying? Hey, the cast of Leave It to Beaver was at Super Mega Fest. And coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, I think maybe because I was talking about Leave It to Beaver, I received as a Christmas present yesterday, because we're recording this on Boxing Day, we should say. It's the 26th as we record. Christmas was yesterday, mm-hmm. by the way. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I did.
Yeah, me too. Mainly because what I received, I ripped open this big heavy package and inside was the complete DVD set of Leave It to Beaver.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got the whole series now. Leave It to Beaver.
That's a lot of viewing time.
Yeah. But Jerry Mathers and Tony Dow were at MegaFest. The cast of Lost in Space was there. And actually, the reason you have iced coffee over there is also because of Super MegaFest. The reason we have iced coffee available for you to spill is because we had the Fish Heads bet from the Bill Mumy concert at Super MegaFest, which you won and I lost. And so I'm making iced coffee for you through the whole winter.
I'm loving every minute of this. And that bet was one of the most fun things,
this is your final iced coffee of the year, but not of the season, because you're going to be drinking iced coffee clear through the miserable winter as we head into 2019.
And I'm going to love every minute of it.
Yes.
That is indeed one of my most favorite things that happened over the past year.
And I think that covers all the conventions that we went to this year. I think that was 9, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll be at a few more this year, obviously starting with Aresia. We're going to make more weird badge ribbons, too.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Not for January. We're still on our Robilar ribbons right now.
Right.
At Aresia, we will have Robilar ribbons.
Robilar has not nearly run his course. We definitely need to get a lot more of those out to the world. The world needs Robilar.
We still have lots of Robilar ribbons.
We'll get the Robilar ribbons to you.
We have so many Robilar ribbons. You know, a highlight of the year for me, sort of somewhere right in the middle of the year, the mayor took me out to Ohio. For the first time. I'd never been to Ohio. That was a strange new state for me. You've been there.
Yeah.
We went to Ohio, and we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And every year we like to whine and complain about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. So this year I finally got out there and saw the place for myself. And I just loved it.
You know, bringing this up,
yeah.
We didn't talk about the outcome of this year's yet.
Usually we complain about the nominees, and then we just drop the whole subject for another year. They have announced the actual inductees.
Yes.
Yeah, who's getting inducted?
Cure.
The Cure is going in. Yes, The Cure and Roxy Music.
Yes.
I was just surprised that both those kind of alternative type bands are going in the same year. Yeah, you got The Cure, Roxy Music.
Janet Jackson.
Janet's going in.
That might be the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah, that's cool. I think most people are happy that Janet's finally going to get in. We're working from memory right now. I don't have a list in front of me.
The Zombies?
Yes, the Zombies are finally getting in. A 60s psychedelic rock band, the Zombies. They've been nominated many times. Finally getting in. Def Leppard is getting in.
And Justin Bieber.
Perhaps.
Psych.
Someday, let's hope. Radiohead.
That's right.
Is getting in. Nominated last year.
Didn't make it last year. Which is a bit of a surprise.
They're back in this year. Your favorite, Stevie Nicks.
I still don't get it.
Is in.
And yeah. I think that might have... Stevie Nicks was tied to one of the biggest cornflake surprises of the year. Because everybody else knew that Fleetwood Mac was going to be going on tour again.
Right.
Except me. And everybody else, besides me, knew that Neil Finn was going to be joining them since Lindsey Buckingham wasn't.
Yeah, they fired Lindsey Buckingham. They added Neil Finn from Crowded House, your favorite band, and you didn't know about it.
Yes. Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac was a thing of 2018.
So maybe you will go check out that show. That'd be like a big arena show.
Yeah, I don't go to too many of those.
I don't either.
I think the last one I went to was Janet Jackson.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah. I went to 3 arena shows this year.
That's
which is
right.
very strange for me.
You've had a big concert
and
going on.
I went to so many stupid concerts this year. I was out of control. At the beginning of 2018, I said, I'm not going to go to as many concerts this year as I've been going. And then I went to more than ever, I think.
Yes. And then I laughed as I saw concert yeah. after concert on your schedule. And one of those arena shows, it wasn't even to see the main act, right?
More or less, yeah. I went to three, and it always amuses me going to these arena shows just because it seems so old school. That's an old school concert experience, going into an arena, because that just feels like it's 1981,
right.
you know, and REO Speedwagon's coming to town. Because you know, most shows we go to now, it's in some kind of outdoor pavilion or a smaller club show or a theater, but the goofy old rock show at an arena just feels like the 70s or the 80s, you know. But yeah, I went to three of them this year. And the first one was Bon Jovi.
And you didn't even really go to see Bon Jovi.
Yeah, well, I did. I thought, all right, it'd be fun to see Bon Jovi. Why not? But what really convinced me to go was that Sidewalk Driver was opening. And that's
right.
a local power pop glam rock kind of band that we love. They got booked to open for Bon Jovi. That was fun. We went to U2 a couple months after that. So I saw U2 this year for the first time in an arena. And then the mayor and I road tripped down to Philadelphia at the end of the summer for the Electric Light Orchestra.
Astounding.
Yeah, we met up with Mike Faber and Judy from
Fabers.
From the ESO Network. They came up from Georgia, we came down from Massachusetts, and we all went to see ELO in Pennsylvania. So yeah, those are my three arena rock shows this year. But, oh, yikes, I went to Weird Al. This was Weird Al's big... vanity tour. This was the show where no props, no costumes, no videos, just him and the band. We're just going to play the songs and no parodies. We're not going to do the hits. We're just doing deep album cuts of Weird Al. Just originals, no parodies.
In some cases, songs they had never performed on stage
before. Yeah, yeah. Many songs they were playing for the first time. Different set every night. The whole tour, they mixed up the set completely every night. And I went to both the shows they did in Boston.
Oh, yes, you did this while I was marooned in Minnesota,
you
yeah?
You were trapped in Minnesota in a blizzard. I was hanging out with Weird Al in Boston. Yeah, we had the VIP ticket, so I got to go backstage and meet Weird Al in between the two shows. Then I went to the secret after show, if you will. Which was, yeah, that has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
It does.
But at Club Passim, super late that night, Weird Al's bassist and guitarist, Steve J and Jim West, they did their own separate after show super late that night. I went to that too. So I spent this whole weird long day with Weird Al and his band. Juliana Hatfield put out an album this year just covering Olivia Newton-John songs. We went to see Juliana sing her Olivia Newton-John songs, which was magical. You know, they did Physical.
I think something would have been missing from the show had they not.
Oh, that was crazy. I saw Christopher Cross this year.
You did?
Yeah.
And I've had Ride Like the Wind stuck in my head ever since.
That's been stuck in my head since 1980, I think. That was completely ridiculous. Patti Smyth came to town with Scandal, and I love Patti Smyth. We went down to Rhode Island and saw Patti. She's still fantastic. You know, The Warrior?
Yep.
She did The Warrior. This is one of yours. I'm just working from a big list of every show that we talked about. You went to a special Jim's Big Ego show, right?
Yeah, I did.
Like a Star Wars show.
May the 4th be with you. It was a special Jim's Big Ego show at Club Passim.
Excellent.
Yes, that was a special celebratory show.
You also went up to Maine to see They Might Be Giants, right?
I did the I Like Fun tour.
I remember that you went all the way up to Maine to see them. And I thought you were crazy going all the way up to Maine.
For They Might Be Giants, of course, yeah. I would go all the way to Maine.
Because they were doing local shows, but no, you went up to Maine.
Right.
But then I did the same thing, though, like a week later. We went up to Portland, Maine to see Sloan. It was a Canadian power pop band, which they're doing a show in Boston. They're doing a show in Maine. Oh, let's go up to Maine. And that's what we did for Sloan. And then I went to Vermont to see Dar Williams this year.
That's right. In the middle
wow.
of pretty much nowhere, right?
I had to count up how many states we went to for these wacky concerts. Quite a few. Also in New Hampshire, I saw Amy Mann and Jonathan Colton together. That was wacky. I think she's going on his cruise this year. The 2019 Joko cruise. I think Amy Mann's going to be on the cruise. They Might Be Giants are going to be on the cruise.
What?
Yeah. What a cruise.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're not going to be there.
I feel like I need like a jet ski and a power sail and to get myself onto that
ooh,
boat.
Could you think we could sneak onto the Joko cruise boat?
Yeah, like all James Bond style.
Yeah, we need the frogman. suits. Yes. The big flippers. We have to get frog suits. And I mean full frog suits. I want it to look like a frog. Yeah. You know? And then we can sneak onto the cruise ship, climb up the side of it.
Like frogs.
They will just think that two giant frogs just happened to be climbing onto the ship. They'll never suspect.
I'm sure they're going to see much weirder things.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we should do that.
We're going to abduct Amy Mann and John Linnell and John Flansburgh. And it'll look perfectly natural. Nobody will get suspicious. Right. It'll just look like two giant frogs dragging three famous musicians overboard.
And bring them fine. Back. Bring them back to Chickentown.
Bring them back to Chickentown, and you can look forward to an exclusive acoustic concert right here on the Flopcast.
After they dry off.
Three terrified pop stars. Oh, you and I went out together in the middle of the summer for Retro Futura.
Yep.
Do you recall the lineup?
I do.
Who was there?
We got to see Lamal.
Lamal, the guy from Kaja Gugu.
As in Neverending Story.
And as a solo artist, he sings the Neverending Story. Yep, started with Lamal. Very
flashy suit.
Yep, the guy from The Outfield.
Yep.
Tony Lewis.
I always forget his name.
Everybody forgets his name.
But I never forget that song.
Modern English.
Right. And Belinda Carlisle.
Belinda was there. That was the big star in the room that night. Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's. And singing all the hits.
ABC.
ABC went on
last. Still sounds amazing.
Yeah. What a night.
Was a magical night.
Of 80s pop. Where are we? Oh, Freeze Pop finally resurfaced this year, briefly. They've just been hunkered down working on their album for a couple of years now, but they popped up and did a handful of shows in the summer, so I got to see Freeze Pop, our favorite local synth pop band. So cool to see Freeze Pop and Party Boys open for them. And we love Party Boys as well, another local dance rock group that we're obsessed with. So many great local bands around that we love to get out and see when we can. Party Boys, definitely one of them. Petty Morals, we saw a couple times this year, and they're the best. I had a week during which I saw both Dennis DeYoung and Peter Cetera.
Interesting. One previously of Styx, the other previously of Chicago.
It was a fantastic themed week of disgruntled former lead singers, yes, and wonderful shows from both of them. And then we were joking at the time that wouldn't it be great if Steve Perry would tour for the trifecta, you know, to go see Steve Perry from Journey as well. And Steve Perry has not gone on tour, but he did resurface. Steve Perry has just been hiding away somewhere for years and years. He suddenly popped up and released an album this year.
Whoa.
There's a new Steve Perry album, but he's still not touring. I don't think he's going to tour. While I was down at Dragon Con, I saw Tom Kenny in the High Seas. That's the dude from SpongeBob SquarePants, you know. He also fronts a big band. Saw the Double Clicks down there as well. Back up here in Massachusetts, I saw Gary Numan for the first time.
Yeah, that's just wild.
People have been telling me for years, you've got to go see Gary Numan. And I thought, oh, come on, why? But I finally listened and I went.
And it was worth it.
Yeah. He does not just sing Cars
over
20 times. He mixes it up a bit.
And now the dance remix. And now the extended dance remix.
So Bill Mumy from Lost in Space do his solo acoustic show at Megafest, of course, as mentioned, during which, evidently, he sang Fish Heads, because he's the guy from Barnes & Barnes.
Yes.
Yeah, the Mystery Science Theater live show. Grant came to town. Our buddy Grant, working the crow puppet. I went to both of those shows, which was amazing. Sheena Easton came to town.
Finally, this is what you've been waiting for all along.
That was my final big 80s act of the year with Sheena Easton, another classic 80s pop act I'd never seen before. So great to see Sheena, you know, doing Morning Train.
And not doing Sugar Walls.
She did not do Sugar Walls. A naughty song from Tipper Gore's Filthy 15 list. Did not make the set list, sad to say. And I think the last final big shows on our list for the year were the annual Letters to Cleo homecoming shows, one of which you went to, both of which I went to.
Yes. Thank you again for taking me to get dangerously close to Mike's guitar with my face.
Yeah, we'd been to so many 80s shows all year, had to cap off the year with some 90s alt-rock Boston Legends Letters to Cleo.
And in the shows, they hinted that this is going to be an annual tradition.
Well, they didn't just hint. They announced this is our annual homecoming show. See you next year. So this is happening. They're coming back. So, man, we left the studio many, many times over the course of the year. We hit several different states for conventions and concerts and weird activities of all sorts. Other than that, we've just been flopped over here in the studio.
I needed just a lot of flopping this year.
Just doing our usual goofy little show here.
It's been good.
We did our top 4.5 list because people wanted more lists. You know how many we did this year?
Like maybe 4?
I counted. We did 7.
Oh, okay. Good.
There's still not many, but we got in a whole bunch right at the end.
Yeah.
We did 7 top 4.5 lists. Well, one of them we didn't really do. Somebody else did.
But that's
remember,
right.
A listener submitted a top 4.5 video games featuring chickens.
I remember that. That was really the first cool. One.
We did a list of Peters, just people or things named Peter. We did a 5 list.
Yes.
Top 4.5, 5 things. That was complicated and confusing. And the highlight of that was when it turned out we both were obsessed with Five Alive.
Yes.
A juice drink from 30 years ago. We did our annual robot list, of course. This year, it was our list of giant robots.
It was fun.
Every summer, we do a robot list. We did Geek Blind Spots, listed stuff that we know nothing about.
That was one of, I think, the most fun shows of the year.
People loved just hearing how clueless we are about everything. And
yet, no one was surprised.
And then right at the end of the year, we did our holiday list. We did supporting characters from holiday specials. And your list, just last week, I believe, was Christmas cover songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we did manage to get 7 top 4.5 lists in, which is good because people like when we list stuff.
Yes. But that also means that there were, what,
45 shows that were list-free.
We failed to provide lists.
We failed all year.
We failed.
Sorry,
45
everybody.
Times.
Well, as we wind down this year in review episode, why don't we tell people where to find us as this year ends and another stupid year begins?
Well, we've got a brand new year coming, but the places you can find us on the internet, those are all the same. Flopcast.net is still our website. We're at facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Instagram, where our handle is the_flopcast, and our Twitter handle is @flopcast.
Yes, well, Cornflake, next week, 2019, a new year, here we go.
I'm excited.
We'll do more shows, and we'll go out and do more goofy things.
Well, I am looking forward to that part.
But we're also going to try more than ever to flop over and still not do much of anything.
Well, fortunately, I'm already really good at that. Peace and cookies.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as $1 a month. Don't fret, all your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to esopodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
Cornflake.
Hello.
Welcome to the secret after show.
It's still a secret.
It's still a big secret, dark secret.
Still at the end of the show.
Still at the end of the show. This is a special secret after show. Do you know why?
Why?
This is the first anniversary of the secret after show.
We've done a whole year of
these. Can you imagine that?
How crazy.
It still feels exciting and new, like the Love Boat.
Yeah, it really feels like we only started doing these yesterday.
Yeah, this is our 53rd secret after show that we're doing right now.
I guess I better make this good.
As usual, I've got nothing for the after show. That's how I'm celebrating our first anniversary.
Oh, the after show.
by not preparing, but I understand you have something. As usual, you thought to bring something.
Well, I discovered something that made me think of you, so it wasn't intentional after show fodder. But as soon as I saw this, I said, well, Kevin, being the fan of holiday specials that he is, needs to know about this if he hasn't heard about it already.
Yes.
Even though it is a very, very new holiday special. In fact, I believe it only came out this year. So, are you done with your holiday specials for the year?
Maybe. What do you have?
Are you familiar at all with Pete the Cat?
No.
Pete the Cat is a newfangled character of storybooks that children read these days. And he's much like the Silent Bob of the children's book world, where everybody else around Pete the Cat talks, but Pete himself generally does not.
Oh, wow.
So, I'll give you a moment.
We're in Studio B. We forgot to mention that during the main show. We relocated to Studio B,
which has a
full computer setup in it.
Well, now that you're getting a good look at the Cat, you can understand I have not always been the biggest fan of Pete the Cat. I think he looks a little bit like a burnout.
Yeah, I just pulled up an image of Pete the Cat so I could see what you're talking about. Why does Studio B have a full fancy computer hookup and our main Studio A does not?
Well, that's what happens when you leave the setup to chickens.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. We are in Chicken Town Studios. All right, I'm looking at Pete the Cat. Yeah, very funny, goofy-looking blue cat.
There are a lot of children's books, but only recently is there an animated show with Pete the Cat, and it's on Amazon Prime, so if you have that, you can see it. So it turns out Pete's mom and dad are played by none other than Elvis Costello and Diana Krall.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
Who are married in real life.
And they're also Pete's mom and dad, and they also do music on the show.
Wow.
But they have Pete the Cat, A Very Groovy Christmas. So it has Diana Krall and Elvis Costello in it, but it also has an all-star lineup, which includes the likes of Jessica Biel, Jim Parsons, Katie Tunstall, Dave Matthews, and Jason Mraz. So there's this cartoon hiding out in plain sight that has Elvis Costello and Diana Krall in it for a holiday special. And I thought, well, okay, Kevin needs to know about this.
Well, sure. As you recall, I saw Spice World, the Spice Girls movie, because Elvis Costello was in it.
There you go. Now you've got something else you need to see.
Clearly, I'm an easy target for an Elvis Costello vehicle. All right, excuse me. I'm going to go look at a cat.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.